Biblical Theology, Chapter 6, Continued. The books of the New Testament also are divided into four groups: Gospels, History, Letters, and Prophecy. The Gospels. There are four books in the Gospels. The names of these books are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These books tell about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Their purpose is to lead you to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. The Book of History. There is one book of history in the New Testament, the Book of Acts. This book tells how the church began and fulfilled Christ's commission to spread the gospel throughout the world. Letters. There are 21 letters in the New Testament. The names of these letters are Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, and 3 John, and Jude. The letters are addressed to all believers. Their purpose is to guide them in living and helping them to do what Jesus commanded. Romans 12 is a good example of their teaching. The letters are also sometimes called epistles, which means letters. Prophecy. Revelation is the only book of prophecy in the New Testament. It tells of the final victory of Jesus and his people. Its purpose is to encourage you to keep living as a Christian should live until the end of time. Its message is summarized in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Spiritual divisions. There are two major spiritual divisions to God's Word: the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. The milk of the Word is basic truth, easily understood. The meat of the Word is the deeper teachings of God's Word, which bring spiritual maturity. Read about these divisions in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 to 14, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Divisions of Rhema and Logos. There are two different Greek words used in the Bible for the Word of God. One of these Greek words is logos, which refers to the total utterance of God. It is the complete revelation of what God has said. The second word, rhema, refers to a specific verse or passage that applies to a specific situation. The total logos revelation of the Word of God is powerful, but when God quickens a rhema word from his written word, it is especially powerful. A verse you have read many times before suddenly takes on new meaning and is applicable to a specific situation you are facing. The rhema word gives you the answer, revelation, or comfort needed at a special time. Jesus used the rhema word to successfully overcome the temptations of Satan. Read about this encounter in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and Mark chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, and Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. First, Satan tried to get Jesus to turn stones into bread. Next, Satan tried to get Jesus to cast himself down from the top of the temple to demonstrate his power. In the third encounter, Satan said he would give up all the kingdoms of the world if Jesus would worship him. In each of these temptations, Jesus met the challenge with the Word of God. Jesus quoted scriptures applicable to the immediate situation by using the rhema word of God. Divisions of milk and meat. The milk of God's word refers to simple truths that even a child can understand, such as the plan of salvation. The meat of God's word refers to deeper spiritual truths, which are not so easy to understand. In the natural world, there is nothing wrong with milk for a newborn baby. The same is true in the spiritual world. When you are first born again, you should desire the milk of God's Word. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. But there comes a time in the natural world when a baby must start to eat solid foods if he is to mature physically. This is also true in the spiritual world. There is a time when you must move on from the milk of God's word to the meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason and use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. Here are three steps for moving from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. First, you must receive the milk. You must gain an understanding of the basic principles of the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. You cannot start with spiritual meat. Second, you must be obedient to God's Word. Carnal Christians do not obey what they learn in the milk of God's Word, so they are not able to mature on to meat. The Bible teaches that it is not enough to hear His Word. You must also act upon it obediently. Third, you must search for the meat. In the natural world, chewing meat requires more physical effort than drinking milk. The same is true in the spiritual world. Discovering the meat of God's Word requires more spiritual effort than living on the milk of the Word. Proverbs chapter 2 tells how to search for the deep things, the riches and the meat of God's Word. The unity of the Word. When we speak of the unity of the Bible, it means two things. The Bible is united in content. Even though the Bible was written by 40 writers over 1,500 years, there are no contradictions. One author does not contradict any of the others. The Bible includes discussion of hundreds of controversial subjects, yet the writers spoke on such subjects with harmony from the first book of Genesis through the last book of Revelation. This was possible because there was really only one author, God. The writers recorded the message under His direction and inspiration. For this reason, the content of the Bible is united. The Bible is united in theme. Some people think the Bible is a collection of 66 separate books on different subjects. They do not realize that the Bible is united by a major theme. From beginning to end, the Bible reveals God's special purpose, which is summarized in the book of Ephesians. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The Bible reveals the mystery of God's plan, which is the unifying theme of the Bible. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful mankind. Jesus explained how the Old Testament centered on Him. And He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Luke chapter 24, verse 44. With this introduction, Jesus continued, "And opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." Luke chapter 24, verse 45. What was the key Jesus gave them to understanding the Scriptures? The fact that its major theme focused on Him. "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 40. The Old and New Testaments both tell the story of Jesus. The Old Testament prepares us for His coming, and the New Testament tells us how it happened. This unites the Bible in one major theme. The people who looked forward to Christ's sacrifice in Old Testament times were saved from their sins through faith in God's promise. Everyone who looks back to it as having been fulfilled in Jesus Christ is saved in the same way, through faith that it happened just as God promised. The diversity of the Word. When we speak of the diversity of the Bible, it means that the Bible has variety. It records different ways in which God dealt with people and the different ways in which they responded to Him. The Bible is written in different moods. Some portions express joy, while others reflect sorrow. The Bible includes different types of writing: history, poetry, prophecy, letters, adventure, parables, miracles, and love stories. Versions, translations, and paraphrases. The Bible was originally written in three languages. Most of the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, except for parts of the books of Daniel and Nehemiah, which were written in Aramaic. The New Testament was written in Greek. None of the original manuscripts of the Bible are now in existence. Some good manuscripts exist, which are copies of the original. Versions are translations of copies of the original manuscripts. From early times, men saw the necessity of translating the Bible so everyone could read it in their own language. There are many different versions of the Bible. The word version means a Bible is written in a language different from those in which God's word was originally written. There are two main types of versions of the Bible, translations and paraphrases. A translation is an effort to express what the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic words actually say. It gives as nearly as possible a literal word-by-word translation. Extra words are inserted only when it is necessary in order for the reader to understand the meaning. A paraphrase does not attempt to translate word for word. It translates thought by thought. A paraphrase is a restatement of the meaning of a passage. Paraphrase versions are easier to read and understand because they are written in modern vocabulary and grammar, but they are not an exact translation of God's word. Purposes of the word of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Brings belief in the gospel message. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Cleanses. John chapter 15, verse 3, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Brings eternal life. If we hear and believe it, John chapter 5, verse 24. Is the basis for eternal judgment. John chapter 12, verse 48. Is used to cast out unclean spirits. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, and Luke chapter 4, verse 36. Is followed by miraculous signs and convinces people of the truth of the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Gives assurance of salvation. 1 John chapter 1, verses 2 to 6. Brings the born-again experience. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, and Psalms 119, verse 41. Bears record of the truth of the gospel. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Sanctifies the believer. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Gives hope. Psalms 130, verse 5, and 119, verses 49 and 81. Brings healing. Psalms 107, verse 20. Keeps you from the path of the destroyer. Psalms 17, verse 4. Is spirit and life. John chapter 6, verse 63. Brings joy and rejoicing. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Increases faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Comforts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. And Psalms 119, verses 50 and 52. Brings spiritual nourishment. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Brings answered prayer. John chapter 15, verse 7. Is the key to success. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Blesses if we hear and keep it. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Brings blessings when it is kept and curses when it is not. Deuteronomy 28. Is a weapon in the time of temptation. Matthew chapter 4. Converts the soul. Psalms 19, verse 7. Makes wise the simple. Psalms 19, verse 7. Enlightens. Psalms 19, verse 8. Warns, Psalms 19, verse 11. Brings great reward, Psalms 19, verse 11. Permits access to heaven, Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Brings the blessing of walking in righteousness, Psalms 119, verses 1 to 3. makes you wiser than your enemies, teachers, and the ancients. Psalms 119, verses 98 through 104. Quickens, Psalms 119, verse 25. Strengthens, Psalms 119, verse 28. Is the basis of his mercy, Psalms 119, verse 58. Brings delight, Psalms 119, verse 92. Gives the simple understanding, Psalms 119, verses 130, 104, and 169. Delivers, Psalms 119, verse 170. The responsibility for the Word. Because the Word of God is so important to the eternal destiny of all mankind, and because Jesus commanded it, believers have a responsibility to make it known to the world. The early church assumed this responsibility and went everywhere preaching the word. Acts chapter 8 verse 4, chapter 12 verse 24, and chapter 13 verse 49. They asked God for boldness to speak his word. Acts chapter 4 verses 29 and 31. And the gospel spread throughout the world because of their faithfulness. Acts chapter 6 verse 7 and chapter 19 verse 20. We also have a responsibility for spreading this powerful word to the world. Learn about this responsibility by studying the following scriptures. God puts his word in you so you can speak it to others. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 through 19. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 5, verse 14. And chapter 26, verse 12. And Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. If you are taught in God's word, then you have a responsibility to teach others. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. You are to preach the word throughout the world. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. You are not to speak your own words, but his words. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. You are not to be ashamed of the word. Mark chapter 8 verse 38. You are to teach the word to your children. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 6 through 9.